So, how good is your power? Are your powers of observation? Have a look. Have you got it? You got it? Yep, it's a pear phone, not an Apple phone. This is the one I really like. I'm convinced I bought chicken from one of those places in China. I've been there, I'm pretty sure. And at the time, I couldn't quite work it out. I thought, something's wrong here, but I'm not sure what it is. KFC, not MFC or KLC or FBC or KF, whatever. What about this one? Oops. I mean, let's face it, we live in a world of fakes. Now, put your handbag down in case, you know, you don't have to say, oh, don't feel embarrassed. I mean, who cares? But we live in a world of fakes, don't we? Well, they're pretty basic and upfront. This one really messes with my head. Is a watermelon still a watermelon if it's square? I'm not sure about that. It's kind of just so wrong in my mind, you know. You cut it up and it's probably red and juicy inside. It looks like a watermelon. Like it's got the same, the colours are right, but watermelons are not cubes, you know. It's tricky. Well, what about this sort of idea when it comes to being disciples of Jesus? Is it possible to fake it? Is it possible as a disciple of Jesus to be a fake? As I said, we've been in Luke chapter 6 and we've been thinking about what do disciples look like? And this whole idea of how to spot the genuine article, not the fake, the genuine article is where Jesus goes next. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. There are two things I want us to notice here this morning. The first is this. Disciples of Jesus behave like Jesus. Earlier we saw in verse 35 that Jesus made the observation that disciples are children of the Most High. And we talked on that occasion about how as a child reflects the Father. As the Father, so is the Son sort of idea. Well, in a very real way, we who follow Jesus reflect Him. And now here in these verses before us, Jesus, He changes the metaphor. He's not talking about Father and Son. He's talking about trees and fruit trees. But He's saying the same thing. A tree is recognized by its fruit. I mean, you know, like in the part of the year where trees aren't bearing fruit, I know I, for one, you know, I can walk along and I can say, oh, that's a nice looking tree. I wonder what kind of tree it is. But when the fruit is out, I don't ask that question. It is obvious. Oh, that's an apple tree. How do I know it's an apple tree? Because there are apples hanging on it. It's not rocket science, as they say. How do I know this is a lemon tree and that's an apple tree? Well, that's got lemons hanging on it. I mean, I'm not strongly agricultural in my understanding, but that's as simple as the scenario that Jesus paints for us here. The evidence is obvious to all who pass by. How do you know? How do you tell if a person is a follower of Jesus? Jesus says, look at how they live. A few years ago, a young guy was working with a friend of ours. This young guy was doing a sort of an internship IT thing, and this kid was hopeless. He was just one of these just all over the place sort of kids, just party guy, drinking, just raging, and just all over the place. And as these two, this older brother in Christ and this young guy worked together, Martin shared the gospel with Daniel on several occasions. And Daniel, as an unbeliever, was reading the Institutes of Calvin's Institutes. Go figure. And he was doing all these just and doing all this crazy stuff alongside. And Daniel got saved. Daniel believed in Jesus. About a year after, I was at Daniel's 21st birthday and I met his dad. His dad was an unbeliever. And I said, oh, it's been great to have Daniel around, to his dad in a conversation. We really enjoy having Daniel around. And he said, man, I didn't. But has he changed? Boy, has he changed. Daniel's unbelieving father recognized fruit. That sort of thing happened in the early part of the 20th century when revival came to Wales. There was this powerful work of the Spirit and the gospel was being proclaimed and people were coming to Christ. Literally thousands of people came to Christ. And the region where the revival was happening was a coal mining region. And the story is told that the pit mules, so this was back in the days when in the coal mines, and the way you would move the coal out of the pits was with mules dragging carts along out of them. And the story is told that the pit mules stopped obeying what the miners were saying because they no longer understood the instructions, because the miners were getting saved and stopped swearing. The donkeys recognised the change. I don't know if you've ever heard Pastor Johnny's testimony, our Hmong pastor. But Johnny ashamedly would tell you how he gambled and drank all their money. That's who this guy was. He'd go to work, get some money, married little kids, gambled and drank every cent. And Jesus saved him. And he's a changed man. An absolute changed man. How can you tell whether someone is a believer? The evidence is obvious to all who pass by. James picks up this theme in the Bible, and you might like to turn to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, we pick it up in verse 14, he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What's James saying to us? It's one thing to say with your mouth, yes, I believe in Jesus. And he's saying, well, I'm actually looking for something more than that. I'm actually looking for you to put your action where your words are. I'm asking you to prove what you say by what you do. I'm actually not convinced if I see you saying one thing while the whole time your behavior tells a totally different story. I'm sorry, it's just not convincing. How do I know it's a lemon tree? Because of the lemons. For James, being a follower of Jesus is like rowing a boat with two oars. Yes, there is faith. We believe, and we've been declaring that this morning. We believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he died on our behalf and rose again that we might have new life. Yes, we have faith. We believe that. And we demonstrate by good deeds. You know what happens if you just have one of those oars, like in these pictures? You go around in circles. You get nowhere. And that's the scenario that James presents to us. Disciples of Jesus behave like Jesus. And the second thing we need to observe is that disciples of Jesus have new hearts. Oops-a-daisy. Getting too carried away. You see, this is something we need to understand. This change of behaviour we are talking about is not the result of moral self-improvement. That's really important. It's not the result of moral self-improvement. But according to Scripture, it's the result of the transformation of the heart. Did you notice verse 45 in Luke chapter 6? A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Dave Lee posted something on his Facebook. I hope it's okay, Dave. It's a public forum, Facebook. The other day, he's a great preacher, by the way. Dave does a lot of great preaching on Facebook. Thank you, brother. I'm often encouraged. And Dave shared the testimony of a guy called David Fetke. I have no idea who David Fetke is, so I'm just going to use his words, all right? But this is really interesting testimony. David Fetke said this: the greatest struggle I faced was drug and alcohol addiction raging through my body. So this guy was a drug addict, an alcoholic. And then he says, my journey was not a matter of discipline. It's a matter of surrender. I surrendered to one of God's many wake-up calls. He and he alone graciously healed me. Once I was 100% into intoxicating myself with drugs and alcohol, now I am 110% intoxicated by God's love, grace, kindness and mercy. Do you understand what's being said here? Do you get it? That this is a transformation from the inside out. This man, he knew his reality. I'm a hopeless drug addict. But Jesus got a hold of me. God rescued me and changed my life. We read of this in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you, this is God's promise, speaking of the coming of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. My friends, this is a really important thing to grasp. When we talk about change behavior, what we need to understand is that this is a change from the inside out. No, it's not me engaging in some moral self-improvement, but it's me recognizing I need a new heart and surrendering to God and welcoming His work in our lives. Jesus in Luke 6, in the scriptures before us, pictures the heart as a treasury, as a bank, if you will, a treasury in which good or evil is stored up. He is speaking of the center of human personality. That's the heart, the center of human personality that determines people's actions or inactions. We speak of receiving Jesus into our hearts to describe the process of repentance and faith at conversion. And the idea is of saying yes to Jesus at the central core of our being. And the picture often painted is of Jesus now sitting on the throne of our life and as a result impacting the way we live from the inside. How do you spot the genuine article? Disciples of Jesus have had their hearts changed, and as a result, good things flow out. We see an interesting example of this principle in Acts chapter 8. And Philip has been preaching the gospel, and in Acts chapter 8 he goes to Samaria. And he encounters, in his preaching of the gospel, many people believed. And he encounters a guy called Simon the Sorcerer, a magician, a shaman. And Simon, we're told in Scripture, believes and is baptized. Now, you need to understand, we baptize a person on the evidence that we see before us. That's true of Acts, that's true of us. Simon is baptized. Now, a little later, Peter and some guys come down from Jerusalem and visit this young church. And Peter prays for people and the Holy Spirit's at work and filling people. And Simon, it's interesting, we pick it up in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. He offered the money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now listen to Peter's response, Acts 8 verse 20. "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart." Now, it's a really interesting little scenario. This guy said, "Yeah, I believe the gospel." This guy's been baptized. Peter comes down and in teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit, this guy demonstrates the true nature of his heart. You see, a fruit tree will eventually be betrayed as to what kind of tree it is. The minute the fruit is visible, you know. And this guy demonstrated from Peter's perspective that his heart was evil. His heart was against God. And he needed to pray for mercy and forgiveness. In contrast to Simon the sorcerer, followers of Jesus are those in whom the Holy Spirit lives, who have been given new hearts and are being changed from the inside out. Remember how we expressed it in day one of this series? We as human beings have been created in the image of God. When we sinned, we turned our backs on God, and something of the image of God was erased in our lives. But nevertheless, God's character is unchanging. And indeed, for example, we read in Scripture that God is love. And that when we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives, when we repent and believe the gospel, when that which Ezekiel 36 spoke of us giving, receiving a new heart and a new spirit within us, what does start to happen? God starts to change us from the inside out. And so we read in Galatians that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. But we equally read in Galatians that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. So we are to love one another. And so there's this amazing, interesting little dance. That yes, while as sinners the image of God has been in some way erased, for us who are in Christ Jesus, we can be truly human beings. But we need to understand, it's not about moral self-improvement. It's about being changed from the inside out and cooperating with what God the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Indeed, the Bible's emphasis is yes, disciples of Jesus have been given new hearts. My friends, I needed a new heart to replace this thing that was evil and putrid. And you know, at a physical level, if you had a heart that was ailing and the doctor came to you and said, you need a transplant, what would you do? You would say, give me a new heart. Quick as you can. Yes, we who are in Christ have been given new hearts. And as a result of being changed, we are being changed. But we need to cooperate with what God, by His Spirit, is doing in our lives. Well, there's something else we need to quickly observe before we leave this morning in Luke chapter 6. Because did you notice that Jesus draws our attention to two possibilities? Again, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Now, as I read this, there's a note of caution, but a note of hope. Because I find it intriguing, the reference to trees bearing bad fruit. And we need to be cautious here, but it just occurs to me that the whole idea that I've been changed, that God has given me a new heart, it's in a sense, I once used to be a thorny bush thing, but now I'm a beautiful lemon tree, or a durian tree, or a what else tree, your favourite fruit tree. I'm a beautiful one of them, as are you who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, but what happens along the way with fruit trees? Yeah, it's still a lemon tree, but now and again you say, man, that's a really dodgy crop. That's a bad lemon. It's a lemon, but it's a bad lemon. And you know, as I look at my life, I rejoice in the truth that Jesus saved me. But every now and again, I look at my life and I think, good grief, that's a pretty dodgy looking lemon. That's not good fruit. Yeah, that's fruit, but it's not good fruit. It's not good at all. Yes, there are times we struggle when the fruit is not good. But that doesn't change the truth. Followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, are known by their fruit. Indeed, what we need to understand is that bad fruit is not necessarily the wrong kind of tree. So back to our original question. How do you spot the genuine article? Well, the evidence of the indwelling Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the imagery Jesus uses in Luke 6. You know a tree by its fruit. It's as simple as that. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are in the business of changing people's lives. And we thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to rescue us from sin. And we thank you, God, for what you have done in each of our lives. And I pray, God, that you would, by your Spirit, remind us. Constantly remind us. It's not about us being good people. It's about being saved people. Rescued. And indeed, God, we want to honour you. And we recognise we need an ongoing work of your Spirit in our lives. And indeed, we would surrender to you, God. Because, Lord, no amount of moral self-improvement is what's needed. We need that constant changing and work of your Spirit, changing us from the inside out. So come, Holy Spirit, do that which only you can do. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.